So we're looking at Hebrews 12. We're looking at passages in Hebrews, so we've almost got to the end. And Fred will be reading Hebrews 13 in a couple of weeks, I think. And this I've titled Run the Race, but also it says to strengthen weak knees. So this is partly in tribute to Fee's knee operation and the fact that she's recovered and the expertise of the surgeons in doing that operation. Strengthening weak knees. So we are called to live the full Christian life. This isn't meant to be a marginal kind of pursuit. It's meant to be what our overall goal is in life. And that entails keeping Jesus at the centre of our vision. The great biblical scholar, slide two please, Elizabeth, thank you. The great biblical scholar A.W. Tozer stated, "For the true Christian, the one supreme test for all present soundness and ultimate worth of everything religious must be the place our Lord occupies in it." So where is Jesus in your life? Is he on the peripheral? Is he an occasional guest? Or is he right in the centre of your living? That doesn't mean that you have to become a recluse, a nun or a monk or a missionary even, but it does mean that we have Christ in all that we do and think. So when you read through Paul's letters, and we don't know who wrote Hebrews, it almost certainly wasn't Paul, but when you read through Paul's letters, they confront where these young fellowships are beginning to sideline God. The Corinthian church, it was all about charismatic prowess, dynamic personalities, sensual indulgences. The Galatians church became more concerned with efforts to justify itself before the law. And the Colossian church was more concerned with religious festivals and feasting issues around food. So how do we live being in Christ? Next slide, please. So how are we gradually transformed? Remember, we've got a whole lifetime. There are people here that have been Christians for many, many years. But they always are being transformed day by day, week by week, month by month. And we have some help here from the writer to the Hebrews. It's as if he provides a help desk. Remember those places that used to ring and you'd get a human being at the end of it, and now you've got a bot that kind of eventually gives you a human being? Well, it's a bit like that with the writer for the Hebrews. How do we walk with Christ every day? Something very powerful about the image of a race. Not a short sprint, but a long distance race. I think Aid did a hugely long distance race yesterday. So people that run not just for marathons like the London Marathon today, but miles more than that. Ones that demand endurance, determination and courage. So the writer to the Hebrews begins this chapter with what is one of the most memorable encouragements in the New Testament. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." Perseverance then is the great theme of this chapter. Not just starting well, but continuing faithfully. Remember, we looked at seeds. Remember the parable of the sower. There were seeds there that grew really well to start with, and then the world got in the way, and then they went off, and the seeds gradually died. We're called to be seeds that grow faithfully over the years. Not just giving up when life becomes difficult, not just drifting when faith becomes costly. And the writer paints this vivid picture of runners in a stadium. Around them is a great cloud of witnesses. Next slide, please. The faithful men and women of Hebrews 11 that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, Abraham, Moses, Sarah, Rahab, many others, those who trusted God through hardship. Remember those that were sawn in two because they believed in Yahweh, Jehovah, God. And imagine for us, in our lives, you know, I look back on my life and I can see the influence that there were of Sunday school leaders, youth workers, pastors, parents, friends. Their lives bear witnesses that perseverance is possible, But it's much easier done in community than it is gritting your teeth and trying to do it all by yourself. So the key to running well is not simply looking at those who've gone before, it's also fixing our eyes on Jesus. Human beings often will let us down. That's the kind of nature of who we are. Jesus will never let us down. So the writer tells us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So we know, don't we? We've just come out of Easter. Jesus endured the cross, not because it was easy, but because he saw the joy beyond it. He endured suffering, shame, rejection, because he knew what lay ahead. He trusted his Father. He remained faithful. And then in verse 3 of this chapter, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I think for most of us, the struggles are in ordinary life. We may have mental health challenges. We may have physical challenges. We have maybe relational challenges. But God is there with us each day of our lives. The Holy Spirit is in our hearts, giving us strength for each day. Some of us will feel very weary, we'll feel tired out and we'll find it very hard to recover from that weariness. Some of us will get discouraged. That too is a very real experience in life. There are times when faith feels heavy and perseverance feels exhausting. And so the writer urges us to look always to Jesus. Next slide, please. So I've got 8 points here. I will run through them very quickly. So I'm not aiming to do a 40-minute sermon. It'll be a lot quicker than that. I love that picture because it's got all those different characters that are mentioned in Hebrews 11, of those people that are there to support us in history. But we can fill that crowd with all the other people in our lives, our friends, our family, our Sunday school teachers, as I said, and pastors and so on, people that have been an example for us. So firstly, we need to look to Jesus. Remember his endurance. Let his faithfulness strengthen yours. I just meet with lots of people. And for each one of you and in the other churches that I meet with, you're all an encouragement to me. You're an example. You're a model of how to get through life's challenges. You know, some of your challenges I've not experienced myself, but there's always that sense of I can learn from you. And when those times come, that I'll have learned maybe how to deal with those situations. So Jesus is not just a model for the way that we should live, but his Holy Spirit is within us, giving us all that we need to live a Christ-like life. So if Jesus is the model, kind of on the outside, but we have the Holy Spirit within us, enabling us to do what we want to do, what we need to do. So strengthening weak knees, this is the second point. Strengthen your weak, feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet. I walked up the graveyard this morning, first time I've walked up the graveyard. It's wonderful, isn't it? And like most things, within a few weeks I'll have forgotten how it used to be, where it was often muddy and rutted and everything. Now it's just a very smooth path. If you haven't been there, I'd encourage you to just walk down the graveyard, just for the whole experience of it. So this is still in a race image here. The runners are tired, their arms droop, their knees tremble, but the call is not to sit down, it is to stand up again. Strengthen weak knees. Sometimes perseverance is not heroic or dramatic, it is quiet, it is steady. It's a decision to keep going when you feel like stopping. When prayer is harder, when hope feels distant, when discouragement presses in, weakness, that is not the failure. We are all weak at times. You know, like sometimes you wake up in the morning and you feel like you could conquer the world, don't you? You feel like, yeah, this is the day for me. I can do all these different things. And other days you wake up and you feel, wow, that the world's really oppressing you and on top of you. And it's those days, I think, in particular, we're encouraged to call on God, to call on his strength, and to remind ourselves that he loves us completely and forever and fully, no matter what we do or don't do. God's love for us is unconditional. It's not dependent on us achieving some kind of marker. Weakness then is part of the race. Perseverance means continuing even when strength feels low. I used to read a lot of books about climbing Everest back in the days when it was a really exciting experience, and used to go to lectures by people who'd climbed Everest and things. And it's really strange, because that up by the Hillary Step, which is right at the top of Everest, you have to complete that to get to the top. It can take them hours to do just those few paces, a few little marks up the mountain, because of the lack of oxygen and everything. That can take them hours and hours. And I think this enormous perseverance to get the goal of climbing Everest. And yet we have an even greater goal, and we are called to greater perseverance. So thirdly, next slide please. To guard the heart. So the writer to the Hebrews, he's very steeped in the Old Testament. He says, remember Esau. You may have seen the tests on children, quite small children sometimes, which challenge them not to take the first thing that comes their way, because there is something better that is promised them. And in this passage it says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. See that no one is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. So we are challenged to make sure that other people that we know, that we love, maybe in this fellowship here, other believers, do not fall, do not fail. And yeah, life comes up with some really tricky situations, and my heart goes out to people who've experienced loss and experienced all sorts of painful, often chronic pain. But we are called to look always to Jesus. So Esau is a powerful example, not of endurance, but of a failure to persevere. If you can remember the story, Esau's out, he was a man of the field, he'd go out hunting. In those days, hunting wasn't always successful. So he came home, he's starving, hungry. Jacob is a man for the home, he deals with the vegetables and stuff. And Jacob has prepared a stew. And Esau wants the food immediately. And Jacob says, yeah, you can have food, my brother. Twin brother, Esau, just a few seconds older than Jacob. He said, you can have all this food if you give me your birthright. And that meant that the inheritance that belonged to Esau would be given to Jacob. And Esau agreed. He thought, I'm starving, hungry. I won't live unless I have some food now. So one meal is given in exchange for a lifetime's blessing. One moment of hunger is traded for something sacred. So he treated something that was precious as though it were worthless. I think Easter each time reminds us of what Jesus did for us. What he did for us was exceptionally special, unique. No one else has ever done that to us or for us in our lives, given his life for us. And yet sometimes the temptation is to treat that as worthless. That's the danger of living only for the moment, choosing immediate comfort over lasting promise. Next slide, please. So perseverance requires patience. It requires valuing what God offers more than what feels urgent right now. Guard your heart. It's really interesting, isn't it? As people say, oh, this happened to me and I couldn't help it, but I just went and did this. And actually the writer to the Hebrews and throughout the New Testament, the encouragement is to be self-controlled, to watch out, to know what the risks and dangers are, and to be prepared. Our lives are not to be like reacting to things. Our lives are to be proactive. So when you pray first thing in the morning, you prepare your heart for whatever happens during the day. So next slide, please. Perseverance requires great patience. As I said, some of us have been Christians maybe 50, 60, 70, perhaps even more years. And yet God has been faithful to us, and we have been faithful to God. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. So perseverance is not only about enduring hardship, it's also about shaping character. living in peace with other people as much as you're able, pursuing holiness, guarding against bitterness. We had a lady in Cornwall that used to come to church, and I used to go and visit her reasonably regularly, and I'd spend maybe an hour and a half chatting away to her, everything going well, and then I'm beginning to say, oh, I need to pray for you before I go. And then all the bitterness then came out, all the envy about other people, and her life was just a mess of bitterness. Guard yourself against bitterness. Resentment and anger can quickly and quietly weaken perseverance. They drain strength and cloud vision. So make sure that there's no bitter root that can grow and cause trouble. And then fifthly, two mountains. Next slide, please. And the next one, please. So there's two mountains. I was talking about Mount Everest. These aren't anywhere near as big as Mount Everest. There's Mount Zion and Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai was a kind of real mountain. Mount Zion, you could say, well, Jerusalem was built on Mount Zion, so maybe it was a mountain, but it's quite a small mountain. And this introduces the Old Testament as compared to the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. The Israelites were told not to go anywhere near the mountain because they would be killed. Even if an animal gets close to the mountain, it must be killed, as Marcus read to us. The people trembled. Thunder, lightning, all sorts of noises coming from this mountain. The presence of God. Moses himself said, I am trembling with fear. But then there's a great contrast to the New Testament and Mount Zion. But you, the writer says, have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. What a remarkable shift. Not fear anymore, but celebration. Not distance, but welcome. Not trembling, but joy. The writer describes angels in joyful assembly, the church of the firstborn, and God himself, the judge of all, surrounded by those made righteous. That is the destination of the race. Jesus will stand in the middle. Not Sinai, but Zion. Not fear, but grace. Not exclusion, but belonging. You think, every person you meet on the street, maybe in Rington, maybe elsewhere, every person you meet is loved by God. No exclusions. Everybody is called to enter the love of God. Number six, next slide, please. So this is the way up a mountain. Many of you have done this sort of walk before. You're in that spot now. You can see where you will be in an hour's time when you have your lunch. And then you can see where you should be in another 4 hours' time when you're virtually up the top of the mountain. That is the route that we need to be taking. So there's these two mountains. Perseverance becomes possible when we remember where the race is leading. We're not running aimlessly, are we? We're running towards something glorious, towards the heavenly city, towards the presence of God, towards the fulfillment of every promise. I've been reading a book recently which talks about people moving from New Age worship to Jesus worship. And what amazes me is the astonishing amount of work that people that follow the New Age movement put into finding God. Lots of courses they go on, and loads of money they pour out on all these different things in order to try to find the presence of God. And we know that God is here, he's present with us, and he will receive anybody that turns to him. Free, no cost. So we are running towards something glorious. That is what Esau forgot. He traded the future for the present. He exchanged lasting blessing for immediate comfort. But the faithful runner keeps the end in view. So just as Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him, we persevere because of the joy set before us. Next slide, please. I did wonder about this. I'll read out that anyway. It was very pretty on my computer, but then I thought, oh, maybe the colours don't really work. So what does this passage mean for us today? It means we're still in the race. Wonderful, isn't it? We're still in the race. And we're called to throw off whatever hinders. If you go with a large backpack and all sorts of other accoutrements, you ain't going to run fast. Throw off everything that hinders. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So that's what we're called to do. Every day, maybe as an exercise, remind yourself to look at Jesus. What would he have us do? Strengthen weak knees. So go back to the Bible. Remind yourself of the promises in the Bible. Guard your hearts. Be proactive in that. Notice where the dangers are. Value God's promises. So God's promises come true, don't they? You talk to a loads of people here and they'll tell you about how God has been faithful, how his promises have come true. And then keep running towards the heavenly city. Yep, there's going to be moments when we stop to pick the daisies or we go off to do this or that. But as a general theme, keep running towards that heavenly city. Yep, there's going to be moments of weariness, moments of doubt, moments of struggle. But perseverance doesn't mean never feeling weak. It means refusing to give up. It means trusting that God is shaping us through maybe times of hardship. It means choosing the better future rather than the easier moment. And then to summarise number 8, you'll be glad to know, picture again that race. There's you, you're walking, maybe you're running fast or trotting. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, those who've run that race before you. Ahead of you is Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And behind you lies the path that you've already travelled. I know people that would have said to me, well, I will never do this and I'll never do that as a Christian. I'm too shy to do this or that. And yet, years to come, they look around and they go, oh, I have done that. And it's got really easy through doing that. Ahead of you is Jesus. Behind you lies the path. And before you lies Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, fix your eyes on Jesus. Do not trade what is eternal for what is temporary. And keep running because the finish line is real, the destination is glorious. And the one who calls you to persevere walks beside you every step of the way. Doesn't stand there as a judge saying, how's that person doing? How's David doing today? He stands there with us, supporting us. Within us by his Holy Spirit, giving us strength and hope for each day. Amen.